the volume.
The Colin Cowherd Podcast brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any fantasy sport, there is a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win. All right, everybody, welcome in. It's officially Thursday morning when you are listening to this. It is my instant reaction to the NFL schedule release that I cut late last night with my friend John Middlecoff. John's a Bay Area broadcaster, former NFL scout, very, very well connected. So let's cut to the chase here. The first thing that jumped out to me. So the Chargers had to rebuild their offensive line. I think they're going to be very good, but that unit needs time. O-line is about chemistry, playing together. And you have Brandon Staley, John, who is a brand new coach implementing a new system. They open up. That O-line opens up at Washington. Then it's Dak at home. Then it's at Kansas City. And then your defense faces the Raiders offense. Then it's the Browns rolling to town. Then it's Baltimore. And then it's Belichick off a bye. And I thought, boy, week 1-7, you got it. You're implementing a new defense against the Cowboys receivers, Kansas City's talent, the Raiders offense, the Browns offense, Lamar Jackson. That is a handful for a new O-line and a new head coach. Your thoughts on the Chargers?
Yeah, I mean, two things really jump out. Herbert didn't have to play against opponents, right? Their crowd. And last year, we saw countless times the good core. Aaron Rodgers getting the Saints to jump off on the road. So it wasn't a normal year when you're going on the road to Kansas City, Buffalo, whoever. You pick random team. Rookie quarterback. Now, listen, his skills, his physical attributes are going to translate, right? He's big. He's got a big arm. He was accurate. But, third and seven when there's 75,000 people and you can't hear, make it a little more difficult. The other thing on the coach, who clearly is a sharp guy. I think you've had him on your show. He's an impressive guy. People in the league think highly of him. He's only been in the league since 16. It's not like, he's a 15-year assistant. So it's a massive, massive transition to just being 1 year coordinator. Then you're a head coach, and you really only have 4 or 5 years in the league to kind of draw on. A couple of those were for Vic Fangio, so you definitely were not the boss. It's going to be hard. They do have these demons of, can they finally shake instead of just looking good, winning some games? Said, that schedule, that you can't just Herbert threw 4 or 5 touchdowns again, but they lost. Eventually you got to win. So I'm with you. Washington, that defense is fantastic.
Listen, you're going to face Ron Rivera, Mike McCarthy, Andy Reid, John Gruden, John Harbaugh, Bill Belichick. Those guys have been around this league forever. All the tricks.
I think right now they would sign up for 3-3.
Yeah.
I mean, off that first 6 games, seven. If they were 3-4, 4-3, they'd have a fighting chance the rest of the season. If they have one of those. Remember 2 years ago, Freddie Kitchens, the Browns, all the hype, and they just, that schedule just ate them alive, and they could never get out. Now, the Chargers should be better than that Cleveland Browns team, but we never know first-time head coaches. You have no clue. You really don't. So it's... Listen, I like Justin Herbert as much as anybody, but holy moly, that's a tough start.
Okay, here's another one. So the Dolphins, Brian Flores, and Chris Greer, the GM, are selling We've Got Tua's Back, but you can't fool the locker room. So listen to the first 8 weeks of the quarterbacks they face, the size, the arm, the talent. At Cam Newton, Josh Allen. At Derek Carr, Carson Wentz, at Tom Brady, at Trevor Lawrence, Matt Ryan, at Josh Allen. They're all bigger than Tua. Most have better arms than Tua. Most are better athletes than Tua. Now, Miami's a good team and could win 5 of those, 6 of those. Yeah. But if you're trying to sell, the guys in that room on, this is our guy, and you're going to have 6'6 Cam and 6'6 Josh and 6'5 Tommy and 6'6 Trevor Lawrence and 6'6 Josh, those are big arm, big athletes, or big movement. I worry about when coaches say, I've got this guy's back. Bear players quit believing Matt Nagy. The defense suffered. The effort eroded.
Yeah.
That is it. That is 8 weeks of really big, talented, mostly athletic quarterbacks.
Well, and think about this. Last year, their defense kept them in a lot of games and special teams. Unless you're just an elite, you know, those Seattle Seahawks teams or the Harbaugh teams where your defense is going to be a lock to translate every year. Like, you're going to have some times where you just give up 30 points. I mean, the Chiefs have been really good these last couple of years. Can they win shootouts, Colin? I mean, the Bills score. The Raiders score. The Colts with Wentz are going to be more prolific probably on offense than they were with Rivers. Tampa is going to be a juggernaut offensively, right? The Falcons just have a bunch of weapons. The Bills, again, like, it's... They're going to have some games where Tua can't just be like, you know, he managed. They scored 21. Like, can he throw four or five touchdowns? Like, back to the Herbert thing, we do know he has that in the bag. Like, if he's rolling, he can be explosive. There's an elephant in the room on Tua. Like, is it going to look the same where it just goes, God, this doesn't look right? And they passed again. They just had the third pick, right? And they maneuvered whatever. But the Niners like that guy at the third pick. Kyle Shanahan did. So if they've... This could be something where you look back in a couple years. Flores and Greer are really impressive. I had some buddies that ran into both of them at Pro Days this year, and they're just like, these guys are cool. They know their stuff. I think people think very, very highly of them. But ultimately, your quarterback is, you could build the greatest team. But in this modern day NFL, if he is a liability, we all know it's hard to just be competitive, let alone sustain winning. Right, Fitzpatrick was good last year. That was a huge reason they won a lot of those games early on, and then late in the season when they yanked him. So, I got Tua red flagged right now.
So, both the Chargers and the Dolphins, we think those are early tough schedules. Here's a schedule that jumped out to me as favorable, John. 49ers. So I open up Jared Goff, new head coach, new system. It's on the road, but. Again, you're talking about an implemented system and a new system. Philadelphia, Jalen Hurts, new system, new coach. So you're 2-0. Then go to the end of the schedule. I get Cincinnati, Atlanta with a new coach, Tennessee, Arthur Smith has gone the coordinator, and the Houston Texans are a shit show. So first and, you know, beginning and end of schedule is the first thing I look at. But you start kind of looking at this. If Aaron Rodgers isn't a Packer, they open up with Dan Campbell and Goff, Philadelphia Hurts, Jordan Love, and then they end with a mess in Houston, Ryan Tannehill, I think, has a pullback year, rookie head coach for Atlanta, and the Bengals. The beginning in a division where every win counts, if Aaron doesn't play, that is a soft early, soft late schedule, in my opinion. I guess just your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the number one storyline with the Niners is their quarterback situation. So is Kyle, obviously Jimmy's a quarterback right now, but that's a pretty easy transition if Trey Lance does show out in training camp to start him against Dan Campbell and Jared Goff and then Sirianni and Jalen Hurts. But, okay, you want to give him some time, ease into it. What about midway through the season? Come Jacksonville, Minnesota, kind of for that home stretch, you bank some wins. The other thing I think with Jalen, with Trey Lance, is he's so different than Jimmy. Unlike Mahomes, who literally just sat on the sideline till that last game with Alex, you can have plays and even run series with Trey Lance. Some runs, some just script plays for him throughout the season and kind of ease him in maybe for that final stretch. If you've banked, you know, an 8-5 record or whatever and really make a run there at the end of the season instead of trying to start them against, you know, an Indy, a Seattle, even a Chicago. Like, those are pretty tough games. But that second half, I'm with you. Around here, people think the Niners are going to be really, really good. And their problem last year, they went 6-10, and really they beat the brakes off the Rams and the Cardinals to end the season with Nick Mullins and C.J. Beathard. Well, Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance are clearly a better unit than those two guys. So the team's all back. We think highly of Kyle. Now, the division's really hard. I think Arizona has a chance to be the most talented last-place team in the league, you know, in terms of their own division. Like, they're probably 6, 7, 8 win teams, somewhere in that range. But I think L.A. is going to be really good, and, you know, Seattle's always 10 to 12 wins. So, to me, the question is how do the Niners play against those teams? Because the Niners play well against bad teams. They have since Kyle's been here, especially the last couple years since they've been good. Yes. Like, I trust them against Cincinnati, against Jacksonville, against Atlanta, against Houston. It's those division games in the NFC West, and I think it's like this in every division. You're not intimidated. Like, the Cardinals play very well against Seattle, right? And they play very well against the Rams. And in fairness, the Cardinals have a lot of talent on their team.
Yes.
So the division is, what do you think, Colin? For my money, it's clearly the best division in football, top to bottom.
Oh, easily. Well,
NFC
I mean,
West.
These teams are all giving up first-round picks. I mean, they all think they're playoff team. When you start giving up first-round picks, you don't even care. Let me throw another schedule at you, John. The Patriots. So we know Belichick gives young quarterbacks fits, first two-year quarterbacks. I mean, owns them. Even Josh Allen still, he struggles against Belichick.
Yeah,
we also know quarterbacks with new systems struggle against Bill. New England schedule, I counted it, 11 of 17 games. You either get a young quarterback like a Tua or a quarterback with a new system like
Jameis has never started for the Saints, right?
Jameis.
I mean, Zach Wilson, the Texans. Yeah, you just a lot of teams.
So 11 of 17 games, either a young quarterback or a quarterback with a new system. And I'm sitting there thinking, this works out for them. They're going to get back to the playoffs. They're a 9.5 over-under team. I told Chad Billman this a couple of weeks ago. He laughed at me. He goes, oh, no, they're a 9-win team. I'm like, one of the reasons he has had so much success is all these teams in the AFC East keep replacing quarterbacks when they should stick with them longer, because your first 2 years in the league, Bill just owns you. He just doesn't lose to you.
Eat you alive.
I look at you're looking at the New England schedule. My takeaway is they're going to win a lot of ugly games.
Yeah, well, I mean, Colin, they went 7-9 last year, and Cam was atrocious. I mean, I'd say 80% of the season, he couldn't throw. So they bring him back because clearly I think they value that. It's kind of shocking to me. He worked there, right? His work ethic, they just like him in the building. Well, now they have Mac, who is dramatically, I think, better than Jarrett Stidham. So if they can just kind of infuse him on top of all the talent that they've brought in, they bought all these players, they got aggressive in the draft, that I'm with you. In 17-game season, I don't think it's inconceivable that they get to 10. Plus, of any human being that you've ever covered in sports, is any guy going to be more driven, especially from a coaching standpoint, than Bill Belichick this season after what just happened to him last year, just how just kind of lifeless his franchise was, and then factor in Tom, and he gets to play Tom this year, which the Bucs are better than the Patriots, but I think you're going to see a Patriot team that just looks dramatically different than the squad. They just have way better players. I mean, they bought 6 or 7 impact guys. They drafted well. They have a functional quarterback, even if he's just Mac just has to be a quote-unquote game manager. He can do that. And now they have weapons. They have some running backs. They signed a couple wide receivers. They signed the tight ends. And defensively, like you said, like, you think Zach Wilson's beating the Patriots this year? Come on. Like, yeah.
He's 0-2.
The Texans.
There's 2 wins
even,
right there.
Even a team like the Browns, who they, on paper, should be better than the Patriots. Like, Baker Mayfield's just a lock to beat the Patriots? Like, I don't know. You know, that's where Belichick has a big advantage. Just he's arguably the best coach ever.
The Colin Cowherd Podcast, proud to be presented by FanDuel. Never played FanDuel Fantasy before? Great. FanDuel is offering users the chance to play free. No deposit required at all. Plus, for those folks who want a deposit, FanDuel is offering up to a $500 bonus instantly when you make your first deposit with their 20% deposit match. Why do you play on FanDuel? First of all, FanDuel Fantasy, easy to use app. Take 5 seconds. Pick a new team every game. Compete for top cash payout. For new users, FanDuel is offering up to a $500 bonus instantly when you make your first deposit with their 20% deposit match. So just go to FanDuel.com/Cowherd. That pays the bills for us. FanDuel.com/Cowherd for more info. FanDuel.com/Cowherd. They know we sent you. FanDuel, more ways to win.
So I have a theory on the Dallas Cowboys, is that two teams, Dallas this year in the draft, filled their defense, as they should have.
Yeah.
Next year, they have to start replenishing the O-line. They couldn't do both this year. So this year, they just said, we're going defense. Similarly, the Rams, who are looking for an over-the-top receiver, didn't address their O-line. The Rams next year and the Cowboys both have to address the offensive line. Whitworth's getting really old. So I said today about the Cowboys, I said, I'd rather they face a lot of the best defenses and pass rushes early, because Tyron Smith is not a 17-week starter anymore. But you can get him healthy through about Thanksgiving. And it's interesting. I look at the best Look at the Cowboys' schedule. At the Bucs, great pass rush. At the Chargers, great pass rush. Eagles home, good pass rush. 2 weeks later, Giants, good pass rush. New England always hurries the quarterback, good pass rush. And I think in those first 6 weeks, those are good pass rushes. Yeah. And that O-line's going to be healthy. Zeke's going to be healthy. You know, what I worry about at the end of the year, they also face the Eagles' pass rush, the Cardinals, Washington, the Giants, Washington. So it's funny when I look at Dallas, it really comes down to the health, John, of the offensive line. If that O-line is banged up, I could make an argument. Week 13 Saints to Week 18 Eagles is six straight good pass rushes. It really comes, if the O-line is banged up, that Dak is going to be under duress the last month and a half of the season.
If you are going to have a quarterback under duress, and I think we've seen it for years in Seattle, at least you have a guy that can move around, right? I mean, he's not a statue back there. One of his greatest attributes is his athleticism. Now he's coming off the major injury because they do just have so much firepower. I mean, and last year they were putting up points. They couldn't stop anybody. You would think they wouldn't be as bad defensively. Like, I don't really worry about their offense, even if offensive linemen, I mean, they've had the rotation kind of the last couple of years because guys have been injured. You know, I think Dak, obviously, I think we all probably agree a little much on the price, but it is what it is. I mean, they paid the price. He's kind of a poor man's Russell Wilson in the sense of like Deshaun Watson. You know, he can move around, and that is something that they can overcome the offensive line, where their defense, if it's not dramatically better, they have no chance. But the one thing they have going for them is their division stinks. I mean, I thought Jalen Hurts was a running back coming out, and he's a starting quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles now.
That's right. With a bad head coach.
Yeah, I mean, with a guy that can barely speak. I mean, Howie's my guy, but his coach, is the press conferences, he better pick that up when the season goes or it's going to get ugly. And Washington, Ron's a high-level guy. Their defense is really good. But if you look at Fitzpatrick's career, he's going to be 39 years old. That was kind of an outlier season for him last year. So to think that he could have back-to-back seasons like that, I'd probably bet against that. And the Giants, Daniel Jones just might not be good. But there is going to be tangible pressure. I didn't think it was insane. I don't know where you stood on this. If Jerry would have fired Mike McCarthy. Now, I know you don't want to set that tone, but like, Mike McCarthy coaching for his job? Like, if they win 5 or 6 games this year, how does he survive? Right?
He doesn't.
Yeah, so they almost... I think there's more pressure on them to win the division, and really in this division, you win it. That's just your one playoff spot. Like, they're not sending wild cards from this division, so to make the playoffs for them, or else they got serious turmoil. But luckily for them, their division is not good, and really probably the hardest team is going to be Washington. But I just do not trust Ryan Fitzpatrick to be consistently good. Where the Giants are probably better top to bottom than Washington, but Daniel Jones just might not be very good, and the Eagles. I mean, they have a chance to not, you know, be one of the, like, a top five drafting team, potentially.
Oh, they'll be drafting in the top five next year.
Yeah, I'd
Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Jets, Philadelphia, mark it down. So I'm going to throw this at you. So a few years ago, I got lucky. I always try to guess when the rookie quarterbacks are going to, that'll be one of my things tomorrow, is I'll try to guess when the rookie quarterbacks play. So take the Bears. So a few years ago, I guessed right with Lamar Jackson, week 11. So you'd want to start Justin Fields in a softer stretch. You know, you'd like to start him after a bye, a home game, a weaker pass rush. So I have found the week he starts. So the Bears, week 7, at Tampa's pass rush. Week 8, hosting the Niners pass rush. Week 9, at Pittsburgh's pass rush. You're going to let Andy Dalton take all that smoke. By 2 weeks to prepare for Baltimore at home that struggled with a pass rush, and Detroit last year didn't have a pass rush. So my guess is that Baltimore at home is when Matt says, okay, if Aaron's in division, we're falling behind, I need to make the playoffs. 2 weeks to prepare for Baltimore, marginal pass rush at home. That's my guess.
My only thing would be, and I heard Nagy with you a couple days ago or last week, like this is a big year for him. So, you know, the one thing with Justin Fields, out of all the quarterbacks, that city is so excited to have him. So that they're going to lift him up even if he struggles. Like I think you could justify if it's even, I'd start him week 1. But definitely, if you get off to like a 2-3 start, like Nagy doesn't have much wiggle room. Like you can't afford to fall too far back. assuming Rodgers is there, you're really fighting for a wild card spot. He started 2 years, you know, at Ohio State. To me, like, I don't want to say ready-made, but Andy Dalton should not be able to beat him out in training camp. But let's assume he does. Like, if you lose week one to the Rams, and then one of the next two games, you get the Bengals, Browns, Lions, like, all of a sudden, if you're 2-2 or 2-3, there's going to be
pressure. You think you go with him?
There's going to be pressure. I mean, Colin, he's 6'3 and a half. He's got a big arm. Like, it's not like he's going to be not being able to protect himself out there. I think sometimes you think with a rookie, you remember Jared Goff, it's like a lot going on. He couldn't move. You felt scared for his safety. You know, to me, yeah. Justin, when you get an athletic quarterback, I get less scared for their safety. You know, Trey Lance, I even throw Zach Wilson, guys that can move a little bit. I remember Baker Mayfield, they threw him out there. Baker thought he could run away from guys. It was like, Baker, you are not faster than any defensive player. Stop. You got to hit the ground. And the thing with Justin Fields, he's physically big, but he can also take off. I do think the city, the pressure on him, and I just think he's really talented. It's not like Andy Dalton's been there, so it's not like he's going to have a huge, you know, leg up on understanding the offense. I think you're going to feel it this year in training camp. I'd say with that franchise, the most of all the rookie quarterbacks, to like, we want to see Justin Fields. We want to see Justin Fields. And the city is cool with living with his struggles if he has a bad game because they're so excited to have him. His landing spot of all the rookie quarterbacks, I mean, obviously Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville, but they don't really have a fan base. I just think the city of Chicago is so fired up to have this kid that they'll kind of embrace him and have his back through some struggles, which is smart.
That's
for Nagy to just kind of just jump in the boat, jump in the deep end with him and just hold his hand and then just see where it goes.
There were a couple of matchups. I mean, it's funny. I thought Monday Night Football got their best schedule ever. First 14 weeks, you have a star quarterback every week. For years and years, Monday Night Football
got the short end of the stick.
Awful.
Yeah.
Oh my God! And I always had a theory. ESPN did Playmakers, and it pissed off the NFL. Remember that show?
I loved it. Watching college, it was one of the best shows that ESPN ever did.
It ticked off the NFL, and they punished them for 7 or 8 years with schedule. Listen to this: first 14 weeks, you're going to get Lamar Jackson week one, Aaron Rodgers week two, Dak three, Justin Herbert. Then a Wentz versus Lamar, Josh Allen, Russell Wilson, Mahomes, Big Ben, Stafford, Brady, Russell Wilson, Josh Allen, Matt Stafford. You got a star quarterback 14 weeks in a row.
Yeah. Did you also tweet about the Thursday night schedule saying it was pretty impressive?
If Aaron Rodgers. So that's the power of Aaron Rodgers. The Thursday night schedule with you get an Aaron Baker.
Yeah.
You also get a Herbert Mahomes. You get a Brady. The Thursday night schedule is good. But you put in Jordan Love twice, it is a very average Thursday night schedule.
I mean, them signing Blake Bortles is a little bit of a backup plan, right? If this thing goes off the rails and we have to trade him, at least we got a guy who can either start, LaFleur's been around with the Rams, or he can be a backup to Jordan Love. But that, to me, that signing today is not nothing. You know, I don't know if it's anything, but it sure is not nothing. I'm with you. I think the league realized, regardless where they were at with the other network, as you call it, the Monday Night Football is just a night for you to own the space. So you just throwing crappy games is just, people are going to watch. They want to embrace the game. You might as well double down and do the sweet games. They did it a couple years ago for you guys at Fox when they got Thursday night games. They made those good, and they did huge numbers. No one wants to watch the Jets play three Monday night games, right? And I understand, you know, living out here, luckily living out there, they care about the NFC East and AFC East a lot because those big markets. But when those teams are bad and you throw it, it's hard to watch. You know, just put the good teams on there. Put the Niners, put the Packers, put the Steelers. Just play the hits. And they're getting back to their roots. Like when I grew up, Monday Night Football was, it felt like a big event, you know, in the 90s and the 80s. And it definitely took a step back, but it feels like it's on the comeback. But I'm with you. I just think this Rodgers thing, I don't know what the end game is. But I don't think they just randomly signed Blake Bortles. Like, Blake Bortles wasn't, like, going to go sign somewhere else.
Let's be honest. We're doing this instant reaction podcast on the schedule. If you're Fox and you get no Aaron Rodgers and he goes to Denver, I mean, you're losing 4-5 4:30 games. That changes everything. So I thought the Thursday night was a classic example of the power of Aaron. If I get Aaron and Baker, if I get two Aarons, That's a really tasty schedule. If I get Jordan Love twice, listen, man, New England is not the same franchise without Tom. Don't kid yourself. The 80s, nobody cared about the Packers. You take Aaron out of that thing, Jordan's no good. That's just another franchise. That's all that is, just another franchise.
Well, I think Ron Wolf has talked about it when he got the job. They were a disaster, right, in the early 90s, in the 80s, the Packers, for a long period of time.
They were never on. When I was in college, when I was young, Packers were never on television before Favre. They were never on TV. It was Washington and Joe Gibbs, the good Washington, George Allen to Joe Gibbs. You know, the Steelers were on with Chuck Noll, the Raiders that had Stabler and several really good coaches. The Dolphins had Shula. New England was never on. Green Bay was never on. The Saints were never on. This is a quarterback league. Buffalo is going to be on TV a lot for the next decade because of reason, Josh Allen.
Well, and the underrated part about Green Bay being, you know, obviously a tiny little market, they have a massive fan base. And part of that is just they've been winning now for almost 30 years. Like, I've gone to games in Oakland. I've gone to games in San Francisco. I've gone to games in Philadelphia. When they come, that fan base has no problem filling up an opposing stadium. Like, they are everywhere. Because good teams, what do? They accumulate fans over a period of time. And that's what the Packers have done. So I'd say, I had this, looking at the Raiders schedule, I think it's pretty difficult and on paper. I know this. If Denver is trying to trade for Aaron Rodgers, the Raiders and Gruden are going to have to get involved. Because you can't just let him go to Denver. Like, you have picks and a quarterback to trade them too. Like, you'd have to get involved. That I could see that being somewhat of a bidding process if they did make him available. Because you just if he went to Denver, Denver's going to be pretty good. And then that changes looking at all these schedules.
The one break the Raiders get with their schedule for those listening. So you open up with Lamar. That's rough.
Tough.
And Big Ben. But then you get a lot of average quarterbacks, John. Week three, I get Tua. Now, week five, I get the Bears. Week six, I get Denver. Week seven, I get Philadelphia. Week eight, I get Daniel Jones. You know, then week 10, you know, I host Joe Burrow, but the Bengals are not a great team. By the way, Washington follows that. So the way I kind of look at the Raiders is – I think they're going to be a little bit – now, the quarterbacks later in the year are different. They end with Herbert. Before that, it's Carson Wentz. Before that, 2 weeks earlier, it's Baker. And then it's Mahomes. But I do think the Raiders, they have to win by offense. I think they kind of get lucky. They draw a lot of mediocre quarterbacks early.
If they can find a way to win one of those first two games, either the Monday night game or the Pittsburgh game, they'd be in pretty good shape up until their bye. You know, might be able to be like a 5-2 team and then just take their chances in the second half. But there is going to be just the amount of money that's on the line in Vegas. I mean, you know that market. There's Mark feels it. I know people with the Raiders, they feel it. Like, there is going to be a tangible just pressure for them to just produce. They basically got a free stadium, but that means a lot of people have their hand involved in this thing. And the NFL knows it. I mean, they put them on Monday night, right away to give the stadium some love, as they should. But that Ravens game, like, that's Lamar's a tough matchup for a defense that's been historically pretty slow these last, you know, decade plus.
Is there a schedule? Let me ask you a couple. I thought the Saints schedule was pretty tough. Is there? I mean, there's some good revenge games. Brady against the Patriots is funny. Ryan Fitzpatrick, Washington. No, that doesn't interest me. Let's see. Hold on.
I think Buffalo could be really good this year. I mean, I was reading this article about the guy they drafted in the second round. They drafted four pass rushers. They drafted the last 2 years in the first round for a pass rusher. This year they went pass rusher, then pass rusher. So they've loaded up on the defensive line. We know how good Josh Allen and their offense is going to be. If their defense just gets incrementally better, we know their coach is good. I mean, they could be every bit of Kansas City's equal. Now, when Kansas City has played them, especially last year, it wasn't really close. I think they played them on like a Tuesday night Corona game, kicked their ass, and then they beat them in the NFC Championship game.
You're really right. Look at this. So Pittsburgh's a tough opener, but that's a you know, let's be honest. They match up with
Pittsburgh.
They beat them
last year, yeah.
Okay. They get Tua, Ryan Fitzpatrick, the dysfunction of the Texans. Then there's another big one in Mahomes. But then they get Ryan Tannehill with a new coordinator. Tua, rookie Trevor Lawrence, rookie Zach Wilson. By the way, 2 weeks later, Taysom Hill or Jameis Winston. You start, and by the way, they get Zach Wilson later. They get Sam Darnold, new system later. They get Matt Ryan, new coordinator. Boy, you're right. You start looking at that Buffalo.
Potentially Mac Jones, maybe one of the two games in the Patriots. I mean, I think they could be like a 14-win team.
Boy, look at that. They've got two or three big – listen, it's funny.
You know, Kansas City game's big for their psyche.
Yeah. Tampa and Kansas City, those are Super Bowls. You take those two games out, man, John, they're going to be favored in all the rest of these games.
I agree. I mean, I'm telling you, Colin, I guess it's hard in these 17 games, like 15-2. It's even weird to say it, but they're going to win 13 to 15 games. Really quick on, I was thinking about this. I was young when Montana, and I guess he didn't come to San Francisco. San Francisco went there. Jerry Rice, it's different, I think, with non-quarterbacks. Favre, when he played Green Bay, is this one of the biggest ever? I mean, this is such a unique situation. He played 20 years for a team, won 6 Super Bowls. Is that going to be the most hype game maybe, I mean, ever in the NFL? Just Belichick-Brady, that game, just in its own little vacuum, just that little matchup, those two guys in Foxborough? Because it's not like the animosity, like when Kevin Durant went back to OKC or LeBron, it was so much animosity. I think they would give him a standing ovation before the game, right?
Yeah, it would be interesting because, you know, the quarterbacks that have given Bill trouble are, you know, Mahomes and Andy Reid. Yeah. But Tom knows all of Bill's tricks.
Everything.
And so you have a complete mismatch. You know, I will say this. I do think New England's – when I look at New England this year, they're going to win a lot of ugly games. The one thing I like about them, I do like their offensive line. And I think with Tampa, when you play Tampa, John, you know, Todd Bowles takes a lot of chances.
Oh, he's a big blitzer.
If you can keep Bowles' defense off your quarterback, those are the teams – New Orleans did that. That's who can give you trouble. Bowles will overwhelm half the teams on that schedule. But Belichick's O-line would give Cam time to throw. So I think it would be a competitive game.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I think the thing with Tampa, and this also speaks to the Buffalo Bills, when you're a really good team, obviously Tampa won the Super Bowl. In this league, when coaches leave at just rapid rates now when you're successful, Tampa kept every single coach. And they already have like 75 on staff, but I mean the ones that matter. And that's Todd Bowles, Leftwich, Aaron, like the core group of guys are all back. And obviously all the players are back. The expectations on them, they clearly really found their own, you know, the second half of the season, December, January, the Super Bowl, they're going to be really good. I mean, talk about a team. They're just, the only worry you really have is just at any moment, they have a 43-year-old quarterback. History would say right. Something that would really be the X factor, but just talent on defense is elite. Skill guys on offense, elite, coaching staff, top notch. It's just Tom is the greatest quarterback ever. The only negative is he's old.
You know, I thought one of Brady's, one of the things that really impressed me, last year we went into that season and Tampa's O-line was a question, right? They went and got Tristan Wirfs right tackle.
Nailed it.
By the end of the year, Wirfs was a top 5 right tackle. I thought their center Jensen plate was playing great football. Their guard play, it's interesting how the cohesion of the O-line, maybe it's Brady getting rid of the ball quicker, fewer mistakes than a Jameis Winston. I thought their O-line at the end of the year, because there were so many other things, John, about them, Brady, the receivers, the Arian story, Bowles' defense, I thought their O-line was fantastic in the last 2 months.
This might sound kind of trivial, but the one thing that Tom, I mean, he's known as the greatest teammate ever, but one thing that he consistently does, and I think it's so easy to do with your skill guys, when they score a touchdown, give them love, you talk about them a lot. Tom always goes out of his way and talks about the offensive line, but on social media, he is constantly Instagramming, tweeting about that group. And those guys, just in the way they're treated in the building, they get no love. Their O-line coach is yelling at them nonstop. The head coach, they don't get any love. They're just big, fat, just expected to block. And the moment they give up a sack, everyone's on them. Tom, I think, has understood from early on in New England, his success, people think it's all the outside guys, your skill guys, your tight end, your wide receivers, your running backs, because he can't move. He needs those guys more than ever, you know, especially at his age. He is great with treating them kind of like royalty, and they know it, and they just go to war for him. And they overachieve.
So
I mean, in the history of his group, right, he hasn't, Logan Mankins and Wirfs, like he's had a couple elite talents, but he's had a lot of overachievers. And I think he props them up as much as Dante Scarnecchia or Arians. I mean, he's had great coaches in that area, but I think he plays a big role in that.
Yeah, remember his first national commercial was a Visa commercial, which he refused to do without all five offensive linemen in the commercial with him. So to your point, I just thought their offensive line was a disaster on that Thursday night game at Chicago. The following week, they came back, no sacks, no penalties. I just thought by the end of the year, I'm like, God, this old line is, maybe it's not Indy or Green Bay, but it is good. The Jensen, the center, is just, he's a wrestler, man. He is feisty. Worse, I thought, even I think Donovan Smith, the left tackle, who was, I'm not a huge fan of. But I thought he played pretty well. John Middlecoff, it's great talking to you. We got to go. It's late at night. Go have yourself a Heineken or a Stella or whatever you drink, my friend. Love having you on. Thanks for breaking this puppy down.
See you, Colin.
All right, I'm going to go to the Action app and give you my Action Network bet of the week. Patriots, 11 of 17 games. They face a rookie quarterback or a first two-year quarterback or a quarterback with a new system. I'm going to go right at Chad Millman again. Patriots over-under is 9.5. I will take the over. Follow us, folks, at The Volume Sports on Twitter, Instagram, too. Rate, review, subscribe. I'll be all over FS1 and Fox Sports Radio talking about this stuff all day, 9 to 12 Pacific, noon to 3 Eastern. Instant reaction, NFL schedule with my buddy John Middlecoff, the former scout. See you tomorrow.
Volume.